Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're talking about a new note from Deutsche Bank on their recent meeting with Tesla Investor Relations. Also got a new software update. Looks like this is the holiday release for Tesla. News on EPA emission standards, the Model Y, Tesla Semi, and a couple other things as well. Strong day for the markets today, pretty much across the board, especially for growth stocks. The NASDAQ finished up 2.4%, and Tesla doing even a bit better at 4.3% to $938.53. All right, so first up, we've got a note from Deutsche Bank. This is from December 14th, but this is the first time that I've seen it appear. This is from Gary Black, who shared this note out on Twitter. And this is Deutsche Bank's recap of their conversation with Tesla's investor relations head, Martin Viecha, from their auto tech conference, which we had previously talked about, that took place on December 9th and 10th. So quite a few interesting points here. They say that this note details Tesla's message on many of its current key topics. And then they say that the key takeaways from Tesla include, number one, puts and takes for fourth quarter and fiscal year 2022 margins, volume and pricing sequentially positive, raw materials headwind, less than pricing, cost of ramping up Berlin and Austin likely higher than Shanghai due to new vehicle specs and technologies. So we've been talking about this for most of the year. The price increases that we've been consistently seeing, at least in the US, have not fully hit Tesla's financials yet. So Tesla here apparently saying that as volume increases sequentially, more deliveries, prices will increase as well, as those price increases start to get reflected from the order backlog. Now, importantly, they say that though raw materials are increasing, looks like that little less than pricing thing indicates that Tesla's price increases are more than offsetting those raw materials price increases, so that's good for margins. Deutsche Bank gives a little bit more information on that in a later point as well. Now, Tesla here may be meaning that average selling prices would increase sequentially. I kind of expected that in Q3, and we didn't see that happen. They actually fell. That surprised me. If that flips back the other way, that's going to be great for margins, but it is worth noting that just because price increases will happen, it doesn't necessarily mean the average selling price will increase because we have to consider mix. And if there's enough mix shift, even if all versions have price increases, that could still end up with a lower average selling price. As for the cost of ramping Austin and Berlin being more expensive than Shanghai, I think that's to be expected. More new technology, as noted, that could end up also leading to a bit slower of a ramp. And then on costs alone, obviously doing business in Austin or Berlin is just going to be a little bit more expensive naturally than Shanghai. Thankfully, the rest of Tesla's business is now more robust, so they can more easily offset the cost of more expensive ramps. All right, Deutsche Bank's second key takeaway from Tesla was strong confidence operating margin will keep expanding over time from the 14% reported in Q3. Really nothing new there. I think we all expect that. And we recently talked about how Zach stated this on the Q3 earnings call, but always a good reminder. Third point, they write that third-party data suggests production from Shanghai is tracking at greater than 600,000 units annualized, which is not inconsistent with Tesla's last disclosure that Shanghai capacity is above 450,000 units. Same thing, no surprise to us here. In fact, it's well above 600,000. If we annualize October and November's combined production, it comes out to 670,000 per year, even without accounting for any downtime. And again, I believe that is supply constrained right now. Point four, this is out of seven, by the way. Tesla's US price increases this year are clearly outpacing commodities, but are necessary to balance excess demand with supply and maintain acceptable wait times, currently 6+ months for Model 3 plus Y, and 1.3 years for Model S plus X. So this was also one of the big takeaways from the Q3 earnings call. Zach seemed to kind of hint at this, allude to the fact that the pricing changes were sort of demand control, though he of course mentioned cost as well. But this is confirmation of that first point, of Tesla's price increases outpacing raw materials price increases. I think this quarter, even more so than what Tesla's able to do in terms of the volume of deliveries, margins are going to be looked at even more closely because we did see a pretty significant step up the last 6 months, plus we've got these price increases. And I think in general, people have a decent idea of where Tesla's production and deliveries are probably heading, but margins are a little bit less uncertain, and the market is really going to be appreciative of continued increases in margin, or at least even just sustaining at the level that Tesla has been at. Since it doesn't look like we're going to have deliveries from Berlin or Austin this quarter, we should have another pretty clean look at Tesla's automotive profitability. Operating margins and net income not quite as clean because there will be some expenses from Berlin and Austin that affect those numbers, but when we're talking about automotive gross margin, that's built off of automotive cost of goods sold, and if they're not selling anything from Berlin or Texas, then there really shouldn't be any cost of goods sold with no goods being sold. So those expenses should just come in the form of operating expenses. Right, point five here, they say that with market demand for EVs clearly outstripping industry's ability to produce, success in EVs is no longer about order book, but rather about production capacity, ability to secure supply, and best cost, where Tesla feels it has considerable lead. Definitely agree, that's been a part of the bull thesis for a long time. Point six, Tesla is planning a broader FSD rollout to owners with safety score of 98 in the very near term, should be material uplift in vehicle count. The next milestone will then be making FSD beta available to all US customers, representing up to about 1 million vehicles on the road in America, which could result in noticeable impact on take rate and profitability. So my understanding is that some safety scores of 98 have been able to access beta, but not all yet. So I wonder if this wider expansion would be maybe 10.8 if the initial stages of that release go well. Elon did say that 10.7 should arguably be called 11. I don't think any non-employees have had that one, but some of the information has come out, including showing the new visualization for path planning, which does look a little bit more wide release ready, more like Navigate on autopilot. So we'll see on that. Either way, I don't think I really expect Tesla to recognize a significant chunk of any deferred revenue this quarter. Might as well wait to continue making progress, continue rolling things out, and probably better to recognize it during the big portion of the costs of the ramps for Berlin and Austin, hitting the financials, all else being equal. All right, lastly then, point seven, they write, making progress with 4680 cells development as 90% of the manufacturing processes are working at expected run rate and Tesla working on the remaining 10%, progress update expected at Q4 earnings. So I can't remember if this matches rumors that we have heard or if it matches comments that Tesla has made at the Q3 earnings call or the shareholder meeting. I looked at the transcripts for both. I didn't see this, but it's good that they've got 90% figured out. And from previous comments, we know Tesla feels confident in solving the remaining 10%. But there's still the open question of if that remaining 10% ends up taking 10% of the work or 90% of the work, and then how much Tesla can actually produce in the interim with that remaining 10% still unresolved. Wrapping up with that Deutsche Bank note then, overall they say, quote, all in with considerable volume, cost, and operating leverage momentum, we continue to see large upside to 2022 consensus expectations, depending on execution of new factories ramp up and supply chain bottlenecks. Midterm, we believe Tesla's impressive trajectory for its battery technology, capacity, and especially cost will continue to accelerate the world's shift to electric vehicles and extend Tesla's lead considerably. It should also enable Tesla to keep expanding its operating margins, likely exceeding 20% over the next few years, representing very best-in-class performance, reiterate buy, end quote. And by the way, they have a $1,000 price target on the stock. And I agree that Tesla looks likely to exceed 20% operating margins. All right, next up here, we've got a pretty significant software update that's in the early stages of rolling out. Looks like the version number is 2021.44.25. Tweeted this out last night, but first posted on Reddit by user Emulsified. So a whole bunch of new features. This kind of overhauls the Model 3 and Model Y user interface to look more like the refreshed Model S and X. Brings in the customizable app launcher and brings in a bunch of new features in games like automatic blind spot camera, which will automatically show the side repeater camera when you activate the turn signal. Tesla has now also made waypoints editable, so that was missing in the first version. Now you don't have to go in and reroute everything, you can just make changes. They've added games like Sonic and Sudoku, and added TikTok to the theater, and they brought in a little holiday light show for all vehicles, though obviously not quite as cool as it is for the Model X. All right, next up, we've got some finality on EPA emissions requirements. We've talked about this story a couple times this year, as the EPA has been looking to undo some rollbacks to the requirements that were done during the Trump administration. It looks like that has now been finalized. So under the Trump administration, the 2026 requirements for fleet-wide emissions had been rolled back to just 32 miles per gallon in 2026. And the math on that is always a little bit funky, doesn't necessarily capture full real-world usage. But anyway, that sets a baseline. Under these new rules, that emissions requirement would be increased to 40 miles per gallon in 2026. So that's a 25% increase in efficiency requirements. So even if nothing happens with the EV tax credit, at least this serves as a bit of a push towards EVs. And pretty importantly to Tesla, the EPA said today, quote, automakers are in a strong position to meet these final standards. The program includes averaging, credit banking, and trading provisions to aid the industry in meeting standards through a multi-year planning process, end quote. So depending on how well equipped automakers are to meet these standards, this could be pretty big news for Tesla from a regulatory credit sale perspective. Though, as we have seen throughout this year, Tesla's business is just growing to the size where even hundreds of millions of dollars of regulatory credits still has an impact, but the size of that impact is diminishing every quarter. All right, next up here, we've got a bit of good news for the Model Y. The IIHS, or the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, one of the major players in safety ratings, in addition to NHTSA, has rated the Model Y as a top safety pick plus. That is the highest safety honor they have. The Model 3 is also a top safety pick plus. It's not extremely selective. There are 75 vehicles in total that they designate as top safety pick pluses, and 15 of those fall into the midsize luxury SUV category, which is how they categorize the Model Y. Given what we know about Tesla vehicle safety, not surprising, but still good to see. All right, last few quick updates. We've got a little bit of news on the Tesla Semi. Distribution company Carrot Packaging has confirmed that they have placed an order for 10 Tesla Semis, which they hope will allow them to expand their logistic capabilities. They do say that they expect them to be delivered in 2022, though they note that exact delivery dates are not available. They might want to check their expectations a little bit there. Must be their first time ordering a Tesla. Next, we've got some more new merchandise. Tesla has added a wireless portable charger 2.0 to the shop, though all versions are now currently out of stock. Seems like whatever Tesla adds kind of immediately gets sold out, and no different here. But this is a 10,000 milliamp hour battery, so about 3 chargers or so for an iPhone. Lastly then, today, Nikola Motors announced that they have reached a settlement agreement with the SEC in regards to fraud accusations from the time of Trevor Milton being at Nikola. The settlement is for $125 million, which they'll pay over 2 years, and matches the amount that they had reserved for the settlement in their previous earnings report. Nikola says that this settlement resolves and concludes all government investigations of Nikola, and that the company has taken action to seek reimbursement from its founder, Trevor Milton, for costs and damages in connection with the government and regulatory investigations. Seems like a very small penalty to me given the market cap that Nikola once carried, but I guess that's how it goes. So that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, December 22nd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.